Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, we're normally on the first Monday of the month, and we were able months and months ago to be able to line up the special guests that we have on this evening, and really excited about all the great music, the Diksha energy, the blessing, and all the great energy that's going to be coming to the show, not only for the people who are listening, but also for the people who are listening to the replays and everything like that. So just amazing night lined up for everybody, and we're excited to have you here. As always, if you want to find out about this show, our other shows, or go back and listen to any of the 2,000 shows that we have in the archives, you can go to our website. It's spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, Pam, are you there?
I am, Mark. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I finally got over, you know, it seems like I get sick whenever I fly. I generally can pretty much be pretty healthy around anywhere I go, but you put me in an airplane and I've been sick since Thanksgiving, and it's just finally starting to clear. So how are you at the, as we always say, at the Lake Retreat House?
Good. I'm wonderful. I love my house and I love the lake that it's on. So I'm doing good. Finished my Christmas shopping today. I got to tell you, though, I'm looking forward to tonight, and maybe some of this music will help you get better as well.
I like that. So who do we have?
It's going to be a great night. Well, tonight, it's a woman named Angelica, who is an internationally acclaimed composer and musician of sacred music. She's a recording artist, an inspirational speaker, and a seminar leader. I'll let her get into the details, the rest of the details about where she's from and how she got into this. She tells me right before the show that she's talking to us from California, and we're so happy to have her on. Angelica, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can. Welcome to
Great.
The show.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm really happy to be on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you on. For people who don't know the background, I want to say that it's probably a little less than a year that my spiritual path has gone in the direction of what's called oneness. And I think being involved in what we call the oneness movement, and the oneness movement, for people who aren't familiar with it, is really about having your own personal connection with your own divine in whatever format or way that is. So it respects all religions and everything, which is nice. And, you know, the people who make up the Diksha movement or the oneness movement comes from all walks of life, all religions. And as part of that, one of the things that I've done is I become a Diksha giver, which is a way of giving a blessing to people. I mean, for some people, it looks like the Holy Spirit. Other people would say it's the laying on of hands. This one here has the particular purpose that comes from a teacher in India, and allowing people to really have whatever is for their highest good, for having that connection. And through it, there's this idea, like many ways, that music itself can actually be embedded with that. And I had actually set the intention of this show this evening not only that we will be getting a lot of this great energy and everything and blessing through the music, because it's actually built into that, and we'll find out more about that in a little bit, but also I've actually embedded it in the intention of anybody who listens to the show or actually listens to the replays, that you'll have such a beautiful blessing that'll come to you from listening to that. And with that, I want to turn to Angelica and ask her, how did you get started in oneness, and how did you get started with creating all this beautiful music that for a lot of people in oneness, they really consider it to be the oneness music, which is really the music that you've created?
Yes, me and many other musicians have been inspired, especially by this one mantra that came from the Oneness University, and it's called the Mula Mantra, which is a root mantra. Mantras are, you know, words of power. They're in Sanskrit, which is an ancient language. And the mystics of old, the seers and sages, had perceived these sounds and syllables in a transcendent state of consciousness, and they brought them into this world, into audible form, to change the energy field. So they're actually quite scientific, and now they're being rediscovered. So every musician who has ever heard the Mula Mantra spoken or chanted has made up a version of it, and it's so fun because the Mula Mantra exists in every version, from waltz to salsa to jazz to every style, and everywhere in the whole world people sing and chant this mantra, and it's really fun. But for me, I really did not set out to become a musician even. What happened is the music found me, and it was an interesting journey and still is. Because one day I had many different talents, and I was always had the feeling that I was meant to do something specific in this world, but at the time I couldn't figure out what it was exactly. And so I sat in a garden one day and I prayed with all my heart and soul, and I said, what should I do with my life? And very surprisingly, for the first time ever, I actually heard a voice, a kind of a cosmic voice, just a voice that was unquestionable in its authority, in its clarity, in its short. It was a very short message, and it said, healing through music. And I was so surprised, first of all, that I heard a voice, and second, about this message. And so I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what it meant, but there was no further explanation. So I actually signed myself into music school and studied music for 4 semesters until I ran out of savings, just to put that first step towards living, you know, according to this guidance that came so clearly. And then what happened is I met saints and mystics and teachers, and they all somehow fueled that fire, from healing me from stage fright to helping me, to teaching me Sanskrit mantras and prayers. So I was kind of coached in a way that I didn't do it, actually. I was just guided by life to the next step all the time. Because for me, music was really a gift, a divine gift, and I started to hear songs in my head in different languages, words and music. And I started to record them because I didn't know what else to do. They were pretty and beautiful, and I didn't want to waste them. So I started to record and eventually learned to record my own music. And so it was an organic, very much guided process, like it was definitely my destiny and it was meant to be. That's all I can say. It's been guiding me ever since. And then what I did is I did not want to mix this inspiration with business. And so I always did other jobs in the beginning to support the music ministry. For me, it was more a ministry, that a sacred gift that I wanted to share freely without that pressure. But in 2005, I came across the Oneness movement, and I started to provide music for some Oneness workshops. And that was kind of the start of it. And then I went to the Oneness University, and I sang for the whole group that was there, over 500 people from all over the world. And when they heard my music, they started to invite me. And so I started to travel all over the world for different events and conferences and seminars. And I started to lead seminars and do my own programs as well. But from that moment on, from 2006 on, this became a full-time ministry, and it started to even provide a livelihood. So it just kind of, again, did itself.
Before we do any questions, let's go ahead and play 2 minutes. And for people who are listening, we're going to be playing quite a few different pieces of music tonight from her different albums and everything like that. A lot of the links we've actually provided up on the Spiritual Connections radio website. You can actually go and search for her at CD Baby and find a lot of her, pretty much all her music is available up there for download. And we're going to start by playing 2 minutes of the Mula Mantra. And correct me if I'm wrong, but basically what this is doing is it's calling in and requesting the divine to come into our presence and to be present for us for this event that we're doing, which is the show.
Yes. Yeah, it invokes that presence in every possible aspect, in the formless, in the form, as a human being, as spirit, as the infinite source, as the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And it just activates all those aspects of being.
All right. Everybody buckle your seatbelts. Here we go.
Now that my brain is completely shut off, I get to ask the questions. That was lovely. That was lovely. I really enjoyed it. I wanted to talk briefly, Angelica, about the Oneness Movement, because Mark and I had a guest on, I don't know how long it was, maybe 6 months ago, a man who I think began the Oneness Movement in this area, but those of us that have missed that show and don't know really what the Oneness Movement is, Can we talk for a minute about that?
Sure. Basically, it's a worldwide phenomenon, and it started in India and by a school, a spiritual school. It's a spiritual university that was founded by a couple named Sri Amma Bhagavan, and they are householders. They had a son. They have a son named Krishna, and they started this university, which is the purpose of it is to transform the consciousness of human beings, anyone that comes there. And I have to say it's a very powerful experience. They take us through many deep processes. They're actually psychological, spiritual processes that help to release deep-seated old patterns in our being and tendencies so that we can actually live free without these old programs running, so that we can unfold our true essence. And it's what's so marvelous about it is that these courses are so universal and they so speak to the human condition, not just to this religion or that religion. So you meet people from every country in the world, and you have these international courses, which are funny because the cultures are so different, you know, and we're all together in these processes. And so it's really an expanding experience on many levels. And so the movement is now worldwide. It has grown like wildfire because the basic principle of it is it's actually inner integrity, to really see what is in us, what is there, what is running us, and to be completely, radically honest with oneself. And from that place of honesty, to really invoke our own divine presence, however we relate to that. It could be our higher self or source or the light or Buddha or Christ or Mother Mary, whatever a person relates to. We call in that presence to help us with these patterns. We call on a higher power, higher intelligence, or the higher faculty within ourselves, because the in a way that separated sense of self, that little ego self, is not able to let go of itself. So we need to call in big help. And that's one of the principles. And what they were using is a tool called Diksha, which is benediction, means benediction. And it's basically just a transfer of grace that those people initiated to be able to just let that flow through them into wherever they direct it. Now I really prefer to do it through the music and by intention. I just, like during the song we were playing, I was really sending the energy, and I don't know what it exactly does, but I feel it running through my whole being. It's very strong. So I just say, okay, bless everyone on this show and everyone connected to them and everyone on the East Coast right now through this, and we're doing it together. So it's really beautiful.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I have another question about the music itself. Before I let Mark jump back in here, we talk about healing music. We talk about sacred music. How, if you know, how does the music itself change the mind and the body? How is it healing?
Well, several different aspects of the music are actually healing. And I would say it depends on what vibrational frequency the music puts out. So, you know, all music is putting out a frequency that has an effect on the listener. And so this music has a specific intention. So for this transformation and for this healing. So when you put in such a strong intention, that is one part. But then the frequency of the instruments and of the voice, that is another part. And the melodies and the words I use for these particular songs are Sanskrit. I do other languages as well, like the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic or, you know, Latin or Greek. But mostly I love Sanskrit, and I do English songs as well. but it's these words of power that shift the energy. So there are some mantras that can heal physically or prevent a physical illness, like the Mrityunjaya mantra. And then there are some mantras that would clear obstacles or difficulties in our path. And there are some others that are for manifesting wealth or health or a relationship or whatever we need. So the power is already built into these sounds because of where they came from. They were, like I said before, perceived by the ancient mystics in a transcendent state of consciousness. So these sounds have the power to transform energy and affect the whole field that they're being put into.
I see. So this concept, I don't know if you've ever heard the word entrainment, but it's a scientific word basically that just means that the frequency shifts and aligns itself with another frequency. So so you can get, you know, entrainment to two different sounds. You can get entrainment to your environment in general, to other people's energies, to where the frequency of your body aligns to the frequency of theirs, or the frequency of your body aligns to the music in the room, as an example. And we've just experienced that with this last music that Mark played for us of yours. So I guess what I'm saying is the body is in movement and aligns itself with the music. And if the music carries an intention of healing, when the body aligns, it would make sense to me, and give me your opinion on this if you would, it would make sense to me that the body aligns with the intention and therefore aligns itself with the concept of healing.
Yes, I would say that is true. And there is something else going on. It's the body and our whole being already is wired for that state of wholeness. And so something in us is like always gravitating, wanting to gravitate to that. And what hinders it often is the pain we carry from the past and the conclusions that are still stuck in the subconscious mind, the feeling of separation. But the music can actually entrain, as you say, with these other frequencies that are more natural to the human being. It's more natural to feel whole and connected. That's our true nature. So automatically our true nature will take us there. It just needs a little nudge sometimes, you know, a little bit of a incentive, a little nudge, like a nice healing modality or some beautiful music in the space. And then it easily goes there. I find that audiences all around the world that are maybe not even familiar with this kind of music, they respond, and they are easy. It's easy to take them. And the other factor is the instruments. This instrument that I play in the background of this Mula Mantra is a 50-string tambura monochord, which produces harmonic overtones. And with these harmonic overtones, they resonate in a way that it just uplifts and meditates us automatically. Very sweet. And I have just been given this gift naturally, that through the voice, some other frequency comes in as well that people find soothing. And so it's just kind of a win-win. It really works. It's beautiful, even if we don't understand the meaning of these words.
Oh, that's lovely. Mark, did you want to add something here?
Yeah, I want to talk about, everybody knows I'm always able to slaughter something, so I want to talk about the next song, which is, I have it listed as Jai Amma. Can you correct me on that, Angela?
Oh, no, you did it just fine. It's Jai Amma, and then the next word would be Bhavani, and this is also in Sanskrit, and what it means is Jai means victory, and victory to the Divine Mother. The mother of the universe, the source is in many traditions is seen as a great cosmic mother from which everything is birthed, all of creation. So kind of like the cosmic womb, the origin. And so Jai Amma means victory to that divine mother. And then Bhavani means the destroyer of illusion. So it's a really nice chant to clear one's energy, and it's a more joyful, upbeat chant that I composed many years ago.
Excellent. Let's go ahead and play that and see how that sounds. And then we'll have fun and ask Pam to ask questions afterwards. I like that.
Beautiful.
It has a celebration energy, you know, like really victory to that. That in the end will prevail, no matter what else is going on in our journey, seeming journey. That will prevail. That is the truth of our being.
That's beautiful. When you write these, Angelica, when you write these songs, do you think that it's given to you by a higher source? Do you study the Vedic words? How is it that you formulate this work?
Well, basically, I have studied some of these Vedic scriptures and teachings with various saints and mystics, contemporary mystics, and they have all just given me tremendous blessings and encouragement. But the songs are more like I receive them. So sometimes I receive a song, words and music all at the same time, and it can be at the oddest times. It can be in the car, or it could be on a walk, or at the river, wherever, it just comes in. And other times it's just I see the words and then I tune into what melody wants to come. But it's more like I'm receiving it more, like I'm bringing it in. It almost feels like it's just existing in a different plane, and it's coming through this form just in a particular expression. So it's a really, for me, it's not a composing process that engages the mind or the brain so much. It's just kind of given. It flows through me. I receive. That's basically the best word. I just receive it.
You know, this last song that we heard, it struck a chord in me as being something very ancient and familiar. Do you ever get a sense in that when you're writing the song or when you're singing it?
Yes, it was really interesting because I grew up in Germany and I never came across any Sanskrit or any Eastern teachings, actually. And when I moved to the U.S. When I was 24 and a half, I still didn't come across anything like that. But when I moved to a yoga community that was based on Yogananda's teachings, by the way, there is a beautiful movie about Yogananda's life right now. It's called Awake. I highly recommend it. It's very beautiful. But I went to the Ananda community and lived there for a few years. And when I first got there as a guest, a retreat guest, I heard the chanting for the first time in my life. And they were English and Sanskrit chants, very simple. And that's when this got activated. I was really surprised because on one hand, my mind said, oh, this is kind of simple and repetitive and kind of strange. But my heart said, wow, this is the music of my soul. And I responded to it immediately. And that's shortly after that is when I started to hear chants and songs in my head. It is familiar. Yeah, it sounds very familiar. These vibrations are like home vibration to me. Like a homing beacon.
Thank you for that. How many songs have you written?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I know I think I published over a dozen CDs. Some of them are the older ones. I don't even offer them anymore. But, yeah, I think maybe 14 or 15 albums I made. And sometimes I use traditional mantras, so they're not all my own compositions. And once in a while, I get permission to record someone else's chant if I really like it.
Lovely. Okay, Mark, do you want to jump in here? I know you have some other things you want to play.
Yeah, I think before we do that, I know we kind of talked about this a little bit before, but can you talk about how the music is a healing, you know, comes and becomes like healing modality?
Yes, it's basically three aspects, or maybe more, but the three main aspects would be the intention that is put into the music. And for me, I was not a musician. I didn't have a musical ego. It came to me. It just chose me in a way. And so my intention was always to uplift and inspire and help to heal the sickness in the mind, which in my opinion is separation and loneliness and all the programming that is detrimental to us. And the other aspect of music to become a healing instrument is the instruments and the vibration of the voice, the singer or the instruments, the frequencies of the instruments. And the third one is where the music is played from. If you really play it from your heart, you really play it from that pure place within, it becomes very, very different than just entertainment. It does something. And there was one other thing, but I forgot it right now.
That's great, thank you. And I know you kind of talked about it earlier that through different types of music, different types of intention and everything, that you can do different things like bring in abundance or a relationship or healing or all these different things. And it's amazing to see how music can be used in so many different ways to empower people.
I remember what the third one was. It's the vibration of the language, of the words themselves as well. It's the vibration of the instruments, of the voice, of the language used, and the intention, and where it comes from, where you're bringing the music from. You know, I think when I imagine it, this is theoretical, but I think there are just different vibrational realms, just like on Earth, you could go to one area and feel one level of consciousness, and then you go to another area and you feel another level of consciousness. They all exist simultaneously, but when in the sound realm, I think some music comes simply from a different level of consciousness. It's, or at least it's embedded with that, And I believe that has something to do with it. And I was told by some people that I simply bring in the angelic frequencies to Earth, and that without any, sense of that I'm doing it, it resonated with me.
You know, one of the topics has to do with the planet and some of the intense energies that are on the planet. And one of the things I wanted to ask you is, you know, what do you see as the most helpful tools or techniques for kind of navigating some of these intense energies on the planet?
Yes, that is a really very, very passionate subject for me. And, lately I've found some very simple methods. And basically what happened for me in my life that I realized that every desire I had been fulfilled. And also there was no more problems to fix in my life. So I kind of felt a little bit like, what now? And I realized, oh, there is still pain sometimes and suffering sometimes. So I had to go really, really deep and into self-inquiry. And what I found was that deep in the unconscious mind was a lack of self-love. And I really had to go to those very uncomfortable places in myself. All the voices I had to identify or look at, all the voices that said, oh, you're not good enough, you didn't do this right, you were selfish there and you did that, and you, all these voices were still stuck. And what I realized is that it's kind of a human condition. It is not just a personal condition, that we kind of split off. And as children, most of us, you know, we were raised in a time of turmoil on the planet. And so our guardians and parents also didn't have that wisdom to guide us. And so we gave away our power to those around us to receive the love that we needed, but we couldn't get it. So most of us made a conclusion, oh, there must be something wrong with me. And so on and on, it piled up. This kind of thinking kind of created an energy of its own, and it piled up and became a belief system, I would say. And now we're unraveling that belief system. And so what I came across was something extremely helpful. It's the teachings of Matt Kahn, K-A-H-N. He's on YouTube, and he just teaches this very simple way to give love to all the parts in us that are hurting. And oneness teaches that as well, is to really see what is there honestly. So the most important step, the first step, is to see what is in us, what is there. So whenever anything arises, even a little tiny pinch of discomfort, to just look at it and see, oh, what is that? And it could be a little child inside of us that actually never got acknowledgement, never got the love that he or she needed. And so these inner children just keep coming out to get our attention. And they can actually sabotage our life sometimes, because we just try to manage the pain, we distract ourselves, we try to run away from it and not feel it. And so it's the pain of the whole planet, not just our own. But each time we are able to give a little bit of love and acknowledgement and allowing these hurt parts to be there and to hold them in a different way than we did before, each time we're able to do that, we help to shift not only our own consciousness, but that of the whole, the collective. Because as all the cells in this whole human body, this big collective body, some cells are really lighting up now. They're becoming awake, like the imaginal cells in the butterfly. They just become lit up, and they all of a sudden do something different, like the 100 monkey. So it's, we're doing something different. We're beginning. And so it starts with the simple step of realizing what is there and then you can say something very simple to yourself. I love you, sweetheart. I love you. I am here for you. Tell me your story. What do you have to say? I'm sorry I never listened to you. So you end up, and the important part is to say it out loud. Say out loud, I love you. Say it for a few minutes. And the important part is to say it out loud, because the subconscious mind then can start to track a new pattern. And before, the self-talk might have been very negative and add pain to the pain. But now you can slow down your breathing. Just slow down the breath, breathe deeply and connectedly. Take a look what's there, become aware of what's there and where is that sensation in the body. And then simply say out loud, I love you, sweetheart, I love you. Tell me what is hurting you. I'm here with you, I'm here. So you become your own wise parent. And that seems to work wonders. Even if you don't feel it at first, just say it anyway. Because it's only ourselves. We can give ourselves that love that no one else can give us. But we keep trying to get parents or partners or teachers or friends to give that love to us, because we're love-starved children deep down. But it's only ourselves where we can actually give exactly what is needed. And then we can do that with everyone else and be that safe space for everyone else.
Wow, that's amazing. Starts from inside of ourselves, you know.
Totally. And that's how we transform the world. And that's how we become more safe within ourselves. You see, part of the problem is we have not been even safe to ourselves. We've been beating ourselves up inside. So how can society, if we are not safe and whole inside, how can the family be safe? How can society be safe? How can the world be safe? So by doing that, if each of us does this, and it's a whole different thing than we've ever done before, but if we do that consistently, the whole planet gets relieved, because we're all completely connected. And the more of us little cells in the whole human collective body make little changes and change the program, like within the matrix, we change the program, the more quickly this transformation will happen, and the more quickly we can heal this craziness that we have inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I use
this
music
song,
as Kyrie. One tool.
I have this song, Kyrie, and I was wondering how that's connected to all this.
There's a song, it's called Kyrie Eleison.
Thank you.
And this is actually like a mantra or a prayer that is in Greek, and it's Kyrie Eleison, Christe Eleison, and it means God have mercy, Christ have mercy. And the way this came about is someone asked me that she used to hear this prayer as a child, and she really wanted to hear it sung. Do you have a version of it? I said, no, but I'll tune in. And then what I did is I just turned on my microphone, my recording equipment, where I live in this cabin in the woods, and I simply blanked out my mind. I just started singing spontaneously. There was no composition. There was no even asking. I just started to sing. And then after 11 minutes, I woke up out of a trance. And then I did it again. And so I did it three times. And these tracks, without editing, they fit together, these three vocals. So it was quite a remarkable gift that came.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like like nuns singing in a cathedral, in a church. That's what it sounds like to me. But I felt so blessed afterwards. I had goosebumps. I said, wow, thank you for this gift. Cause, like I said, there was nothing consciously done to it. It just happened.
Okay. Let's see what that sounds like.
Thank you.
That was lovely, Angelica.
Thank you. Yeah,
you
the music kind of transports to a different realm. I like to go there.
It really does. It reminds me, it turns on lots of psychic insights and other worlds and other dimensions, and visitors from other places show up, and it's just really whether you let your imagination take you, because often imagination is actually seeing something that's really there, but maybe on another dimensional level, or you just let it turn your brain off and let yourself feel it. It's just lovely on all levels.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Let me talk to you for just a second about instruments. You've written here, mantras in different languages, from meditative to upbeat music, accompanied by a 50-string custom tambura monochord and 12-string guitar. I have no clue what, I know what a 12-string guitar is, but I have no clue what a tambura monochord is. Can you share that with us?
Yes, it's a custom-made instrument that a friend, a music sound healer in Germany, made for me, but I helped to design it with him. He makes sound tables where people lie on the table and with strings underneath, and they're amazing, and he makes them in different shapes, but I designed this shape with him because I wanted it for traveling. And a tambura is an East Indian instrument that is normally made out of a gourd, and it has a bridge that is slightly curved, so the strings on this bridge resonate with all the harmonic overtones, kind of like the Tibetan monks or the tuban throat singers or the didgeridoo or the harmonium and the bagpipes. Those are instruments that create harmonic overtones, and those frequencies are very, very healing. Also the dilruba, you might have heard this haunting string bowed instrument on the Mula Mantra, which we played at first. There's a dilruba, which is a mixture between sitar and violin from India as well. And it resonates with this haunting overtone beauty and frequency. But the tambura monochord, it has basically 25 strings on each side. There are two different tonalities, and the first four strings are the tambura sound, and the tambura is tuned to a certain key, but it has only the first and the fifth of that tonality, and so but different octaves. So it has these the first and the fifth in different octaves, and when I played this behind the Kyrie eleison that we just heard, the tambura monochord was playing as a resonant sound carpet, a bass for the for the song, for the high voice to come over this carpet of sound.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. I have a question about your voice. We talked briefly about you've mentioned the three different things that create this music. One was the instrument, which we just talked about. Another was your voice. Now, the things that we've heard, the voice has come out very high and almost angelic. Have you ever begun singing intending one thing and the voice comes out on a much lower frequency or shifts in some way?
I'm not sure how to answer that. Let me see. I just sing in whatever frequency comes through me, and sometimes it's low and sometimes it's high, but I mean, some voices are soprano, some are tenor, some are bass, you know, it just depends on what range your voice has. My voice has a pretty good range, but I tend to sing more in the mid and high frequencies. I feel that that is more comfortable for me, but it's also where this magic, the real magic happens. And I can only really go by the feedback of the listeners, and I always get the same feedback that somehow they find this voice very soothing and they feel that they are reminded of angels singing
to
them.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Mark, you want to add something here? I know you're waiting in the wings.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and get out the website to everybody. How can people find out more about your work?
Well, my website is Angelica, and it's spelled with a K because it's a German name my mom gave me, and in Germany we use K instead of C. So it's like Angel, I-K-A, and healingmusic.com. So the website is angelicahealingmusic.com.
Excellent. And for anybody who wants links to CD Baby, to her music, or also to her website, we do have those links up on our website for spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And, you know, we always like to ask this question of our guests, and that is, what is the biggest lesson you've learned in life so far?
Oh, wow. I have learned. I learn lessons every day. I learn lessons every day. But I think for me, maybe the biggest one is just letting go of trying to control and manipulate or direct my life. And I was very good at directing my life. I'm German made. And we're very good logistically and getting things organized and getting things going and, you know, do. But somehow there's something is changed and it's unfamiliar because there's a softness and there is a spaciousness now. And I have a feeling that I more and more don't plan or worry or try to make things happen. It's more like I am inviting every day the highest good for myself and everyone else to flow through me, to reveal itself. And that seems to be happening more and more and more. So for me, it was like to relinquish control, and I had to learn that lesson the hard way. I had a lot of heartache and pain and loss in my life, and somehow by surviving that, I have reached a place of where I still feel very deeply, but finally something connected in the way of trust in that intelligence, that great divine intelligence that runs this life, as if I was a player on a divine chessboard being moved to the next spot on the board, wherever it needs to be now. And it's happening automatically. And it's really a beautiful development as I get more comfortable with relinquishing the control and let go more and more.
I think
sometimes, people have had some people have this spontaneous shift in their consciousness, or some people call it awakening. But for me, it's been very gradual. And what I've seen in some beings that have had these radical awakenings, kind of Eckhart Tolle-style awakenings, where Eckhart, after he had this big shift, he sat on a park bench for a couple of years. And to reintegrate, reintegrate, it took questions and people coming to him and asking him if he could teach them. And for me as well, I see this spontaneous awakening, but it's gentle. Through oneness, it has been very gentle and integrating as I go. And I appreciate that because it keeps me functional. And I think my life is for the purpose of helping myself and others and uplifting and inspiring each other.
Mm. We're gonna close the show tonight with your song Gratitude. So let's say our goodbyes, and then you can talk about the song Gratitude, and then I'll play it, and then we'll end the show.
Okay.
So I appreciate you being on the show this evening. Pam, it's always great to have you on.
Thank you to both of you. Angelica, it was a lovely show. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you too.
So talk to us in closing about the song Gratitude.
The song Gratitude came when a friend of mine who is the minister at a Unity Church asked me to do music for his service the next day. And he said, do you have a song on gratitude? I said, well, I have songs on love and different themes, but not exactly on gratitude. But I said, I'll tune in. And so what came was this song, and it's in English, but in the chorus part, it has the word thank you in 11 different languages. And
wow.
It just kind of came to me, and I looked up on the internet what all these different languages, you know, were for the word thank you. Of course, I knew a few of them by heart, but it just kind of came as a gift, and then I played it for that Sunday service. And I think gratitude is another really big, big, huge ingredient for staying happy within us, within ourselves, is to be grateful for all that we have.
Such a beautiful closing message and everything. Everybody, you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and here's gratitude. Have a great night, everybody.
Just say thank you for every dream come true, for the light that shines in you as often as you can. Just say thank you for the longing in your soul, taking you back home where you belong. Thank you. Gracias tanto.